Regaining some degree of calmness, I thought over who it was that had been in the forecastle. To begin with, there was Fisk. He was part of Mr. Keach's watch, so it was reasonable to assume that the other members of his watch were with him. There were, I knew, four men in that watch. Ewing, Morgan, Foley, and, of course, Fisk himself. But as I reviewed these names, my feelings of puzzlement grew. What I had observed did not make sense. Then I grasped it. I had seen Fisk. It was he who had opened the forecastle door, and Ewing was on the forecastle deck. But when I stepped inside, there had been three hammocks occupied with men. In short, I had seen a total of five men off watch. Assuming the other hammocks indeed held members of the watch, who then was the fifth man? Could it have been Mr. Keach himself? No. I had seen him just outside the forecastle when I emerged. Nor could it have been someone who was on duty. The captain would never have tolerated that. Who, then, was that fifth man? I began to wonder if I'd not been mistaken about the number, reminding myself that a hammock full of clothing would have looked much the same as one occupied by a man. But the more I recollected what I'd seen, the weight of the hammocks, the dangling arms and legs, the more convinced I grew that I'd indeed seen four men. Suddenly, like the crack of a wind-whipped sail, I recalled my dim vision when waiting to board the Seahawk the night of my arrival, of a man hauling himself up ropes to the ship. Of course! A stowaway! But where could such a man have hidden himself? No sooner did I ask myself that than I remembered the face which had so frightened me in the top cargo when I'd gone for my clothing. It had been a face that I'd not recognized. Indeed, it was just that lack of recognition that convinced me I'd imagined it. In fact, I now realized, I must have seen the stowaway. No wonder I did not recognize him. He had been hiding in the hold, which explained Barlow's dire words about the place, as well as the grinning carving. The man sought to scare me from the place. But having arrived at that conclusion, I asked myself this. What was I to do with my discovery? To ask the question was to have the answer. Captain Jaggery. It was to him I owed my allegiance, by custom, by habit, by law. To him I must speak. And the truth was, in addition to everything else, I was now consumed by guilt and terror that I had not told him before of the incident in the top cargo. So it was that by the time I had come full course in my thinking, I knew I mustn't wait a moment longer. I needed to get to Captain Jaggery. Recollecting the time, 3 bells of the second dog watch, I knew that the captain would most likely be found by the helm. Nervously, I emerged from my cabin and went on to the deck in search of him. The first man I saw was Morgan, leaning against the starboard rail. He was a gangly, long-limbed, muscular fellow, with a fierce mustache and long hair. As he was one of Mr. Keach's watch, not currently on duty, he should have been among those in a forecastle hammock when I'd been there. I say he should have been, because I'd not seen his face. His presence was only a surmise. But there he was, on deck. Brought to a dead stop, I gazed dumbly at him. He, in return, gazed right at me. Surely, I thought, he was there to observe me.